Make no mistake, Trump-backed Bernie Moreno was a MAGA mistake for black families in Ohio.
We're not going to replace racism in this country from decades ago with a new form of racism, which is what DEI is.
If Bernie Moreno was elected senator, he will support the MAGA playbook and implement the thinly disguised Racist Project 2025 agenda. That means ending diversity, equity, and inclusion programs that exist to correct the impacts of racism. MAGA extremists like Moreno believe programs that have helped our families are entitlement programs, but they have no problem giving their buddies a boost by passing more tax giveaways for rich folks like themselves. Black Americans like me have worked hard and persevered in fighting for a fair shot. We've come too far to let self-serving extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. That's why we must re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. He has fought for equal opportunity for black families and will continue to do so. Go to OhioVoterGuide.org and register by October 7th. Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's August 19th, 2024, and the Brandon Ayuk saga still hasn't freaking ended, but this is the week it's going to end, right? Right? We'll discuss that more next on Conan Hensley. What's up? Welcome to Conan Hensley. That's Ryan G. Hensley. I'm Grant L. Cohn. We promise this is not going to be a Brandon Ayuk show. We're just starting with Brandon. We're going to move on to other things. They played a game last night. They looked like a team having fun, man. They were out there with their teammates, high-fiving, playing football. I was envious. Ryan, you look terrific. What is your secret? How are you doing?
Just genetics, you know. Moms.
There it is. Yeah.
You know, that's all it is.
Yeah. Just won the genetic lottery.
A lot of filters. Is really what it is.
Oh my God. Hold on. I'm not wearing a jacket. Hey, how could I possibly do the show without a jacket?
I think this is good, bro. We're going back to our roots. T-shirt Monday.
White t-shirt Monday. All right. I'm just going to go with it. Look, let's talk Brandon Ayuk, man. I mean, I'm ready for it to be over. Everyone's ready for it to be over. Last week, it was reported that they're getting close. I mean, just a few days ago, Mike Garofalo said that the Niners and Ayuk have essentially agreed on everything except for the last year of the deal. And whenever you hear a report like this, you're like, okay, so tonight we're going to get this done, right? Or tomorrow at the latest. Guess not. Garofalo says the Niners feel like they've caved already. I don't know. If it still feels messy to me. How do you interpret this situation, and do you think it's going to get resolved soon?
I think it has to get resolved soon because he needs time to prepare for the season. And so the 49ers feel the urgency. I honestly feel like, I know this is, you know, not everyone agrees, and shout out to Loa. I highly respect your father. He's a role model to me, but I know he doesn't agree on this, but I will say that I got to take my hat off to Brandon Ayuk for sticking with his guns, man. Like, he is not backing down. And I respect him for that. Now, there's certain things I don't think he should have done on social media throughout the offseason. I think you got to give him some credit, though, for sticking with his guns. It's hard to do at 26 years old. And I think no matter what happens at this point, the 49ers have lost this situation because they're going to pay Brandon Ayuk more than they wanted to pay him if they keep him. If they trade him, they're not going to get anything back that's going to supplement the loss of Brandon Ayuk. So either way, at this point, if you're looking at it, who's winning, who's losing, it's Brandon Ayuk's winning this thing. And as far as the contract, that is actually a big difference. A year is a big difference. Like, okay, you're agreed on the first 3 years, but you're not agreed on how many years. That's a big difference. It's not like that's just like a minor thing that they just got to hash out. It's a big deal. So I don't know. I think it gets done this week, but I thought it would have got done a long time ago.
I don't. I guess that's where I want to start. I don't think it gets done this week. I think we keep hearing reports like they're close, but I don't think it means anything. I think it'll get done, but I think it's going to be on the Bosa timeline. I think we're talking September, not August. And I think they really need a deadline to get this across the finish line. Because the way I look at it is I still think the Niners are messing with Ayuk in the sense that they don't they think he's bluffing. I think it's a game of chicken. I think they think he's bluffing. I think they think he doesn't really want to go to Pittsburgh for obvious reasons, right?
Yeah.
Look at their quarterback situation. Look at their offensive coordinator. Look at their offensive philosophy. Like, not necessarily where wide receivers go to flourish. So, and he just bought a house in the Bay with his significant other. So I can see the Niners being like, we're not going to offer you exactly what Pittsburgh offered you. We'll offer you something close. But we don't really think you want to go to Pittsburgh, so we don't have to match their offer. That could be their stance. And then IU's stance is, no, you do have to match their offer. I do want to go to Pittsburgh. And yeah. I think they won't find out how he really feels until like September 5th. You know, like, all right, man, well, are you going to sit out week one? Or are you going to plan your fifth year option? Or are you going to take this deal that's very similar to what Pittsburgh gave you? I think it's going to come down to like 2 weeks. Two.
I think Brandon Ayuk's going to stick with his guns, man. I really do. I think the Niners are going to have to cave all the way to make this happen. And I feel like they will. I think that's what's going to happen. They always pay, here's the thing. They always pay top contracts. Always. George Kittle, Nick Bosa, Deebo. They always pay these guys the most in the NFL. Jimmy Garoppolo, right? They always end up doing it. And what they need to learn is you can do that if you do it early. But if you wait until the last minute, you're going to pay them the most out of anybody that season.
Well, I got something to ask you. It's like, if they've created the pattern, the precedent that they're always going to cave at the very last minute, then as an agent, if you were like a player's agent, wouldn't you tell them like, hey man, don't accept anything until like the very last minute, because their offer is going to go up. I know it's going to feel like it's going to give you anxiety. You're going to hate it. But look at the last 5 years. They cave at the last minute. Just stand tight. Stick to your guns. We got this.
Yes, but I think if you would have made Brandon Ayuk the highest paid outside of, you know, Jefferson, if you would have, or Tyreek Hill, if you would have made him the highest paid early, he might have jumped on that. I mean, that's what Brandon Ayuk said. Whether he means it or not, I don't know. I see what you're saying, and the agent could be advising that, and that could be the way they're taking it, because you're right. There's a track record of the Niners folding at the last minute with this stuff. But if I'm the Niners, I'm going to get up aggressive and say, look, we don't want to do the same thing that we've been doing with everybody and waiting until the last minute and putting them in a bad position to start the season. We want to make you the third highest paid wide receiver in the NFL right now. I don't know. Part of me thinks Brent Ayuk would take that. I mean, that's what Brent Ayuk said. You know, that just because he says it doesn't mean it's true. But if I'm Brandon Ayuk, I don't want to go to the Steelers. And to be real, if I'm the Steelers, I don't want to pay a wide receiver $30 million a year and trade draft capital when you don't even have the quarterback position figured out. Why don't you figure that out first, Pittsburgh, before you go signing a wide receiver to a $30 million contract? Pittsburgh needs to back out of this deal at this point.
Well, you could argue that the reason they don't, the fact that they don't have a quarterback they're paying is why they're interested in Ayuk, because I think teams really should be paying one or the other, maybe not both. I think it's tough to win a Super Bowl winning. Not that Pittsburgh's concerned about winning a Super Bowl, but I kind of want to like change my opinion here. I'm not so sure either side's going to cave. I think that's kind of how I feel about the situation. The reports keep making people feel like it's close, and maybe it is, but I think it's all relative. And I think neither side's going to cave. I think the Niners have made it publicly clear. Like, look, we've caved enough. We're offering you $30 million a year on average. You want the last year adjusted? It's not even guaranteed. You're being unreasonable. So no, this is our final offer, and it's really good. It's $30 million a year. And if Ayuk says, yeah, it's good, but it's not good enough, and you think I want to play for you, but I like Pittsburgh too. It's 6-1, half dozen the other. Send me to Pittsburgh. I could see this dragging on into the season. Ayuk not playing week one, week two, and the Niners like holding off on a trade until some team falls at like starts tanking and selling off players, like when they traded for Emmanuel Sanders or Christian McCaffrey. That's the kind of thing you can do week 4, 5, 6, but it's not necessarily something that, like, is there, how many teams are just dying to trade a starting wide receiver today? No one's lost a game yet. But if some team's 0-4 or 1-6, whatever it is, in a couple of months, the Niners might be able to get a replacement wide receiver. That's how messy this could get.
Yeah, Chiefs could get more motivated to trade if one of their wide receivers goes down. I just don't see the 49ers getting back something as valuable as Brandon Ayuk. But a fifth-year option could be end up being the end result here for the 49ers. They might just both. Brandon Ayuk is different. His personality is different. His hard-headedness is different. And I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. He's sticking to what he said. And I don't see this as the same situation as Kittle and Bosa. Those are team guys, like face of the franchise type dudes. Debo Samuel has a great relationship with Kyle Shanahan. Brandon Ayuk is different from those dudes. He doesn't have the great relationship like Debo does. He isn't the face of the franchise type dude. He is about his business. He shows up, handles himself. When it comes to football, he's about his business. When it comes to his contract, he's about his business. His mistake was, I do think now I look back, his mistake was coming out on social media. Like the day after the Super Bowl, don't forget what got you here. Who's he talking to, Grant? Who is he talking to?
Kyle.
Obviously, right?
Like, which kind of makes me like Brandon more. It's like, oh, you have an issue with Kyle? Like, and you said it publicly? Wow. Respect, Brandon. No, it didn't necessarily help your position, but you haven't hasn't cost you money either.
Yeah, I mean, it hasn't helped.
Maybe it's made the negotiation more contentious because you're ultimately negotiating with Kyle even if he's not at the table.
When you're a franchise and you're paying players this kind of money, they want to make sure you have everything, right? Not just the ability to catch passes, but also how are you going to conduct yourself on social media in the offseason? How are you going to conduct yourself when you lose a Super Bowl? That stuff matters to them. And so I think that's part of the hesitancy, right, where they're not just giving them the Nick Bosa, here you go, type of treatment.
Yeah. I do think it's interesting that, like, Kittle, McCaffrey, Jennings, Debo, Juszczyk all sort of look at Kyle as like, man, you made our career. Like, we were good, but you put us in position to make more money than we would have without you, and thank you. I feel like those guys are all indebted. Even McCaffrey. Like, McCaffrey was having a good career with the Panthers, but he was kind of in obscurity and getting hurt, and he wasn't looked at as the best player. He wasn't looked at as a 99 in Madden or the face of the league. Now he is, largely because of Kyle. Ayuk is the one guy that's like, wait a second, man. Like, I was a first-round pick one way or another. You've buried me on this team. Like, I actually could have had a bigger profile elsewhere. You've held me back. He's the only weapon on the team that feels that way. And yeah, maybe he's right. Or maybe he's just a perpetual victim. Who knows? But I think there's a lot of truth to how he feels.
And I don't think it's a victim thing, because Brandon Ayuk, if you look at his history, right, he messed up in high school, got bad grades, wasn't able to go to college because of it, went to a junior college and fought his way, earned a scholarship, overcoming this adversity, ended up being a first-round pick from junior college. That's tremendous. I think he just believes in himself. I think that's what it is. It's like, I've overcome this adversity.
I've been on myself every step of the way.
And I've made it. And I think that's what he thinks. He's like, dude, I could be good on any team. I think he thinks that.
Including Sierra College. Okay, let's go to the game yesterday. Enough of Brandon. He was there. Apparently, we didn't see him. Brock Purdy was on the field, which is like, sure, yeah, great. You want to get your quarterback out there. It made sense. It seemed great. And then you look around. It's like, wait a second. Wait, well, there's no Trent. There's no Banks. There's no Feliciano. There's no Juszczyk, no Christian, no George, no Juwan, no Jordan Mason, no Debo, no Brent. Like, wait a second. Why is Brock out here with Brendel and Colton McKay? Why were those the only three starters that needed work today? And then you see him go out there and he's getting knocked down. He completes two passes. I mean, they didn't get in a rhythm. Was it good work for Brock? And why do you think Kyle wanted to put him in that situation against the Saints defense that was playing their starters and blitzing, taking the game quite seriously?
So I watched your show last night, which is my favorite show on 49ers YouTube, Grant, post-game. Love it.
Thank you.
That's my shit. I got to watch them all. And I watched your show last night, and I heard your message. So I'm thinking about what else could it be. So I'm going to go the opposite direction. I want to, and then you could explain yours. I'm going to go the opposite direction. Instead of, like, trying to show everyone that Brock needs these guys and needs Kyle, maybe his thought was, you know, I hear guys like Grant talking, saying that Brock can't do it without, or we haven't seen Brock do it without these weapons. Here, I'm gonna show everybody that he can. And maybe he put him out there to show everybody that he doesn't need all these weapons, and Brock just fell short. Maybe that's
possible. let me go back to my side of the argument for a second. Not only did he take the weapons away, man, he took himself away. He let Clay Kubiak do the play calling. So I was like, hey, man, you are 100% on your own. Go make something happen. And he really didn't. He really didn't look particularly great. And then after the game, I asked Kyle, what'd you think of Brock? And he's like, well, you know, the three and outs weren't great, and he could have had a big play on the keeper that he didn't get. But, you know, there really wasn't enough opportunities to assess him, to evaluate him. It's like, well, if you couldn't evaluate him because you didn't have enough opportunities, then was that a waste of time? Because preseason is about evaluation, right? Or was he learning things?
Yeah, you know, I don't necessarily agree with my opinion or yours. I'm not sure which one I don't know. I agree with. Yeah,
it's just so weird to me. It was so unusual. Like, what are you getting out of this?
Here's what I know. I don't know why. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me why he switched things up. We're going to talk about Kyle, how he's changing here in a little bit. But he's made some changes this year, some noticeable ones. I really can't explain it, man. I really don't understand it. It has to be. Look, it could be one of the two things we're saying. It could just be, hey, let's get him some more work. Could be that simple. I don't know. What I do know, though, and this is a fact, and people are going to blow this out of proportion. We've seen what Brock can do in real games. Fantastic. And I expect Brock to bounce back Friday when he has everybody there with him. But what we do know is statistically he was the seventh best quarterback in that game last night.
Yeah.
He was the fourth best on the Niners. He did not look good. It was not a good look. And part of my anticipation for Brock this season is I think he's going to have a good season. I do. I think he'll bounce back Friday. But one of the things I'm thinking Brock's going to do is have a lot of confidence and let it rip. And maybe there's a little bit too much of that with Brock. He's going to have to find that balance, like when to be that dude going out there to earn that contract and show everybody that I'm the leader of this team, and when to just play within the scheme of the offense. Now, to Brock's defense, three starters, Brindell, Pooney's most likely starter, McKivitz, the only guys out there. McKivitz can't really be classified as a starter on most teams. So in his defense, you know, I got him in credit, and then he's throwing to Trent Taylor, who's awful. I mean, that one pass to Trent Taylor, that's probably on Trent, I would imagine.
Did he even get to play with Jacob Cowing?
No, he didn't. He would have been better off. Yeah.
He was playing with Eric Sobert and Trent Taylor. I mean, there's nothing he could do. He was literally trying to make plays that weren't there by extending them. To me, it seems like he's trying to show people, like, look, I'm the real deal. I'm going to be worth this money that they're going to pay me eventually. And it's like, you didn't have the opportunity to show that yesterday, except Kyle said you could have ran. What was he talking about? He could have ran for a big play. Is that what Kyle said in a preseason game? You want him to run for a big play. You want him to cross the line of scrimmage. You're starting quarterback. What?
I didn't understand that one at all. And the one real bad play that Brock had, I mean, to be fair, he was under a ton of pressure. I think he was hit, what, three or four times in his six passing attempts, hit three or four times. It's crazy for starting quarterback. But the one play that you just can't do is that throwing across the field into just lofting it up there. That was an interception. Luckily, whoever that was, the tight end,
Sobert.
Did we decide it's Sobert, not Sobert, right? It's Sobert.
We can call him Sobert, but it's just it probably originally was Sobert, but now it's Sobert.
Yeah. Well, we're going back to the roots. Sobert.
Yeah.
Had to play DB on that play. And luckily he did, because that should have been an interception, hit the corner right in his hands. That was a bad play from Brock Purdy. Everything else you can kind of put on, you know, just being out there with a bunch of scrubs. But I will say this. A lot of these quarterbacks that we're watching are playing with scrubs. I know, like, people like to not to bring them up because it's triggering for a lot of people. But Trey Lance played with backups against the Raiders starters in the whole first half of his game on Saturday. But we don't get to use that excuse for him. So in these preseason, you're seeing mismatches like that. So it's not necessarily the greatest excuse for Brock Purdy.
Let's stick with the context of the Niners. I'm just looking at other starters. Like, this was a game where if you were halfway decent as a starter, you didn't play. Javon Hargrave, no. Like, D'Amador Lenore didn't play in this game. He's having a great camp. We all know it. He's the MVP of camp, but it's been in the league 3 years. He's never been to a Pro Bowl. He hasn't gotten extended. You could argue he's less accomplished than Brock. I mean, it's not even close. Like, Brock was just ranked top 30 in the league, according to NFL Network. Lenore wasn't top 100. So, but Brock hasn't had a good training camp. People say it doesn't matter. But Kyle didn't say it doesn't matter. We don't know how he privately feels. All we know is that he felt Purdy needed work with a bunch of backups, but Lenore had earned the night off. That is interesting to me because that makes me feel like Kyle's actually putting weight on this training camp.
Yeah, dude, I don't get. There's a lot of things Kyle does that don't make sense to me. And we're just left sitting here trying to analyze and figure it out why. I really can't think of a good reason why you throw Brock Purdy out there last night. And again, I think Brock Purdy's going to bounce back. He'll probably do really well on Friday night with all the ones in there, and he'll probably have a good season. But last night, he didn't look good, and a lot of that's just not his fault. I don't know why they put him out there in the first place, and I really can't tell you why. We could throw out our scenarios, but none of them really make perfect sense to me.
Let me ask you this. If the Cowboys had a preseason game, well, we already know Dak hasn't played, right? He hasn't played.
Right.
If the Packers were in a situation where they were playing the Saints and the Saints are playing all their starters on defense and a bunch of the Packers starters on offense were hurt and you gave a lot of them the night off and it was just Jordan Love and two starters in the offensive line, would Matt LaFleur say, go get him? Or would he say, you know what? I don't think there's much to gain in this situation. It felt like only Kyle would do something like this. You know what, bro? And to me, it's like, what message are you sending? The message you're sending is, you have a lot to work on. Just because you had a good season last year doesn't mean you've made it. You're not one of the guys who just get, you're not Bosa. You're not Lenore. You're not Leonard Floyd. You're a young guy who has a lot to work on. And even if you don't have your starters around you or me calling plays, you can get some real benefit from being out there and getting knocked on your ass. So strap it up.
I mean, what we do know about Kyle is that he does. I mean, we know this, right? Like, we know that Kyle thinks his offense and he is the star of the team. I think most people know that or think that.
And he's good at taking people down a peg. Like, oh, you think you're special and you're the reason that this is working. Okay, let's test that theory.
I would like to think that that's not what he did. I would like to hope. Really, it's a hope. I would like to hope that that's not what he was doing. My hope is maybe he was like trying to show people, hey, look, Brock can go out there and ball with these scrubs, right? Like, yeah. Hopefully that's what he was doing. But it does make sense based on what we know about Kyle and his, you know, the way he looks at himself.
Well, let's look at Purdy just from the Purdiness of Purdy. Let's take out Kyle's intentions for a second. Purdy goes out there, doesn't have a good supporting cast going against a good defense. And he could have, you know, thrown the ball away. He threw it away a couple of times. He could have thrown the ball away, just not gotten hit. Been conservative, gotten the hell off the field. He didn't do that. He held it. He ran around. He forced some plays. That one throw to Eric Sobert it wasn't even really to Eric Sobert. It was to the defender, and Sobert miraculously broke it up. So this is the kind of stuff I've been seeing from him in camp. Everyone's been seeing from him from camp. It's just that some people say it doesn't matter. Frankly, he's had plays like this early in his career and gotten away with it. Are you getting concerned about Brock Purdy's decision-making when someone isn't wide open?
A couple things. So I had Eric Crocker on my show this morning. He said one thing he has a problem with, and I agree with Brock doing these type of things, is it's creating bad habits. So even if it is purely, just throw it up there and see what happens because it's preseason training camp, you're creating bad habits. That's not a good thing. That's something you want to avoid.
Practice
how you play. So there's that part of it. The other thing that's kind of been Brock's nature in college, that's who he was more so than he has been so far with the 49ers. So far with the 49ers, it's more of a, I don't want to screw up and then I'll make a play if I have no other choice. But Brock in college was more of like, it's on me. I got to make a play. And you saw a lot of those type of plays from him in college. You're entering year three with Brock Purdy, and he's got to have more confidence, more understanding of his offense and coming more into himself. Also, he is aware that he's coming into a contract year. So one of the predictions I've had for this season is I think Brock Purdy is going to be a better quarterback, a better leader, just more confident in general, but that he's going to have more interceptions because he's going to be taking that on his he's going to be taking those risks more, I think.
Because he's going to try to prove, like, look, man, I'm not just – he knows the narrative about him, right? I'm not a system quarterback. It's not just that Kyle Shanahan schemes people open and I find them and I process and I throw these little dinky passes. Like, I'm more than that. I can ad-lib. I can scramble. I can throw deep. I'm a gunslinger. Like, yeah, you can. But do you have to on this team? Are you really, do you need to take risks, or are you going to play a little bit of hero ball that you don't have to play to sort of respond to narratives or justify a payday that hasn't come yet? And if you do that, what kind of results are you going to have? Because Brock has been at his best when he just executes and does what he's asked, you know, avoids pressure when he has to, but basically doesn't try to do too much.
Right. And I want you to think of a similar situation right now. The situation Brock Purdy's in, right? Coming into this year, it's a contract year for Brock Purdy. He's got something to prove. Last time he had something to prove was against the Baltimore Ravens when him and Lamar were head-to-head in the MVP talk, and that was the worst game of Brock Purdy's career. So I think Brock Purdy really needs to find that balance of, you know, showcasing his ability, earning that big contract, you know, being more aggressive, but also not to a crazy degree where you're making throws like he did last night.
We talk. I love like the idea of like things to prove and tests. He's already proven so much. He's passed so many tests, but the test changes as you go through the NFL. So the first test was like, can the Niners just get a young quarterback on a cheap rookie deal who can execute now? And that wasn't Trey because he was a project and they knew that. And I'm not sure why they drafted him if they weren't going to play. I mean, he just wasn't on their timeline, but Brock was. He had the experience in college. He got here and he could take full advantage of the weapons and the scheme. We've seen it. And his contract is beautiful. Like, he's the biggest bargain in sports. But if he were to get paid like a top quarterback and the supporting cast isn't the same, or Kyle gets fired one day and there's someone else calling plays, would he still be great? Or is he the perfect quarterback for this team at this price? That's the next thing he needs to prove. And I mean, I don't think he even knows yet. No one knows.
I don't think we do know. And the way I look at paying quarterbacks is if you're not elite, don't pay him. Move on. That's how I look at it. And
did paying Dak help Dallas?
No. Did Kirk Cousins? No.
Like, did paying Kirk Cousins help Minnesota? No.
No. Like, if you're not elite, don't pay him. Is that?
Did paying Tua, was that the right move? Did paying Goff, was that the right move for Detroit? Like, no. Sorry.
That's just going to keep you relevant. That's all. It's not going to win you a championship.
Miami's down to be relevant. Detroit loves being relevant. Minnesota, Atlanta, but like the Niners?
So you got to wonder how Kyle, what's his philosophy in regards to that? Does he feel the same way?
I have a guess, knowing Kyle. I don't know him that well. But, I mean, I'm thinking, do you think he thinks, thank God for Brock Purdy, he saved my career, or Brock's good, but I'm the reason people think he's special. And I think I can do it again. He was awfully enthusiastic about Tanner Mordecai last night.
Well, he made Jimmy Garoppolo look good for a while there.
And Jimmy's not even a starting quarterback in the NFL.
And he's not very good. And then, you got to think.
Now, I don't think he made Darnold look that good. That's the whole Darnold thing. I don't know. I mean, I watched the practices, the games. I don't think Kyle had any actual tangible effect on Darnold, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he's going to tear it up with Minnesota this year.
No, he's not. There's two.
And he didn't do much with Trey Lance either. Sorry.
Right. Well, there's difference, right? He couldn't do it with Trey. Couldn't do it with Darnold. Trey wasn't ready. He's still developing, Trey Lance. I still think he has great potential, but he's still developing. He's not ready. He was never on that. He hasn't
been
on
the thing about Trey before we move on. He's never going to develop in practice. The development he needs is in games, and that's why he's like this ultimate catch 22. Like, he's never going to get the playing time. He needs to go to freaking Canada and do it, which sucks, but he needs to play in real football games, and they're never going to let him do that in the NFL. Preseason's a nice start for him.
And that's why everyone who has all the 49er fans who have anger directed towards Trey Lance, you're directing it incorrectly.
How many times has Trey Lance been benched in his career?
Zero.
Zero times. Yeah. He's got hurt. He's still younger than Brock. So we'll see.
That's the thing. Direct your anger with Trey Lance towards the 49ers. But back to the Niners, there's guys that aren't going to be able to look good in Kyle's system, right? You got to be able to, like, you have to have that quick. You just got to be able to play that quick decision-making football that Kyle wants you. Do what Kyle says. That's all how right. you
uh-huh.
– and some guys aren't ready for that. Brock is. Jimmy was temporarily, but past that he couldn't help. Why I like Brock is he can do that, and if nothing's there, he can sometimes make things happen. But you got to think that Kyle feels exactly how you just said. You got to think Kyle feels like I did it with Jimmy. I'm doing it with Brock. I could probably do it with somebody else if I really had to.
also, like, I think Andy Reid as a coach, they always, people always compare Andy and Kyle. I think Andy Reid, his, I mean, he has the ideal of offense that he would want right now. Like, just give me a great quarterback. I'll pay him. Give me some good offensive linemen. I'll pay them. And I'll find weapons. I'll scheme people open. Like, we'll be explosive. But even if we're not, like, even if our top targets are freaking old Travis Kelce and Rashee Rice, will win a Super Bowl. I can figure it out. I don't think Kyle really wants to build an offense like that. I think he wants to have the best weapons in football. He wants to have all pros at tight end and wide receiver and running back. He wants to be able to say he has four guys over 1,000 yards from scrimmage. And he wants to be able to say, and I did it with a quarterback who's making $900,000. Isn't that crazy? I did that. It's like, it's almost like I'm the quarterback. That's his ideal of an offense. And I think that's why this Brock Purdy situation is so interesting, because is Brock really the one that's going to get Kyle to change his ways and stop being a quarterback bachelor and be like, no, I'm in. I'm all in, man.
Well, you're not a genius if you do what everyone else does, are you? Right? Like, are you really a genius unless you're doing something different? So the Niners, their approach is different. Like, quick passing game, we don't need a good offensive line. We can get by without one. We're not going to invest in that. We're going to invest in weapons. And
we don't need a quarterback who has a strong arms tall. We just need a guy who can process.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
We're going to do things different. I'm going to win a Super Bowl my way. And
we like quarterbacks that no one else likes. No one else wanted these guys. Work for us though. Yeah.
Yeah. Because of my genius system.
Yeah. Real quick. Everyone going gaga over Bo Nix. I haven't watched him yet. I'm not watching Broncos. I watched some highlights, but when you read people talk about him, it's like, yeah, this is the Brock Purdy commentary all over again. All over again. People that think Brock Purdy's super special think Bo Nix is super special. It's like, yeah, they both might be good, but this is a very specific skill set that people like.
Can I say something before you get into the sleeper picks? Because I think that's where we're going.
Yeah.
I think Grant's about 5-6 subs away from 75K. We need 5 people watching right now to make that happen for Grant. That's tremendous. So by the end of the show, I expect 75K.
Please subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. Also, got an announcement. On Thursdays this year throughout the season, we're going to be doing like a round table. You know my roster. I got Ryan. I got Jesse. I got the coach. The four of us are going to be doing Thursday round tables, and we're going to rotate which channel it's on. But it's going to be a fun opportunity to see us all discussing the team and the sport together. I think it's going to be something fresh and exciting. A little roundtable action.
This Thursday, we start off your channel this Thursday. So tune in. I can't wait to do it. I've been dying to do it with these guys. So I love all these guys. Looking forward to it.
Yes, sir. Let's do some sleeper picks. Getting off the WNBA action for a while. You know I love making WNBA picks, but let's go to NFL because we got an NFL audience here. Sleeper, unfortunately, doesn't have Niner picks yet, maybe because it's Monday Night Football and they're waiting on it. So we can do other people. Kyler Murray, one of the more intriguing players in the NFL. He's going against Buffalo week one in Buffalo. 229.5 passing yards for Kyler Murray, more or less.
This is week one, actual season statistics. I'm going to say under.
Why?
I don't know. Kyle Murray, he's super talented, hasn't proven anything to me yet. So until he proves something to me, I'm gonna doubt him. But
hold on. Let's stick with this for a second. So let's see his numbers from last year when he came back from that ACL injury. He played, because I'm a big Kyler Murray fan, 8 games, went 3-5. He averaged 224 yards a game, okay? 224 last year. We're talking 229. And that was without Marvin Harrison Jr. You don't think Marvin Harrison Jr. can add 5 yards?
That's a good point. If he is going against the Bills, and Josh Allen is going to put up a lot of points. So you convinced me.
I'm a Kyler Murray truther and a Cardinals backer this year. I just feel like their offense is going to be good. I couldn't name more than 2 players on their defense, but I feel that way about a lot of teams this year. Yeah, I feel like what teams are doing now is just disregarding defense in general and not paying for it. And they're just like, we're going to spend on wide receivers, offensive line, quarterbacks, and we'll go cheap on defense and, you know, cross our fingers. That's what the Rams are doing.
Yeah, I mean, most of your championship teams are passing centric.
Yeah, well, Chiefs had a really nice defense last year. Okay, Lamar Jackson, 231.5 passing yards against Kansas City.
I'm going to say less.
Me too.
I'm going to say less.
I love Lamar Jackson, but he's not a prolific passer. He's a good passer. He's an efficient passer, but not a prolific passer.
He's got a cannon. He just, you know, he has more of a balanced approach running and passing.
Exactly. Let's see how many passing yards a game he averaged last year, just to know. It's good to know.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
229. So yeah, he's right around there. I was talking to my friend yesterday playing golf, and he was saying that he likes wagering on preseason football games because anytime he sees a favorite, he just bets against the favorite. It's like, why is that guy? Why is that team favored? What do the odds makers know about their backups as opposed to the other team's backups? They're both backups.
Right.
One team really has far superior backups. And that made sense. But then the Broncos were favored last night and they won. So I don't know. I feel like it's kind of got to be. It's a little risky wagering on games that don't count.
Betting on preseason is a crapshoot. You have no clue how that's going to play out.
Yeah.
If you win, you're lucky.
I would have to agree with that. Let's go passing. I want to go Kirk Cousins, Josh Allen, Mahomes, Russell Wilson.
Who's Mahomes playing week one?
He's playing Baltimore. 264.5 for Mahomes week one.
That's a good defense. They're both those teams.
I feel like he didn't put up great numbers. Like what did he do last year? 261. In 2022, he averaged 308 passing yards a game. Last year was 261. They ran the ball a lot. Now they have Xavier Worthy. Yeah.
They also, you know, dinked and dunked a lot because that's how teams are defending him. He's taking what
Baltimore's got a good defense too. I almost want to say less here.
Yeah, I think I would.
Like, is Travis Kelce going to be in football shape yet, or is he going to still be in Taylor Swift mode? It took him a while to get out of Taylor Swift mode last year, and you can't knock him.
Yeah. I mean, but Xavier Worthy could get half of that one game, so you never know, man. Having Xavier Worthy might change it a little bit. Like, teams have been trying to take away the deep ball from Patrick Mahomes for the last 3 years, but Xavier Worthy might just make that, like, really hard to do.
I have a theory. I think the Niners wanted Xavier Worthy. They ended up drafting Jacob Cowing. I think they wanted speed in their offense. The Chiefs traded up. I think the Chiefs took him. I think the Niners wanted him, and I think they ended up with Ricky Pearsall, and they weren't super confident about it, and they ended up drafting another wide receiver later just to sort of hedge. And now Jacob Cowing looks good, but I think they wanted Worthy.
I don't know if Worthy and
Purdy Brock would fit. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know if it's a good match.
Maybe not. That's a good point. One more, and then we'll wrap it up. CJ Stroud, 269.5 against Indianapolis.
Ooh, that's a lot of yards, dude.
What did he average last year? But now he's got Stephon Diggs.
I'm going to say over, man. I'm a big CJ Stroud guy, man. I called it before the draft. I still think he's going to – I've already put it on paper here, man. I think they might be able to make a run and knock the Chiefs out of the AFC to get to the Super Bowl. So – I'm going to say over just because I really think he's a solid quarterback, man. He's going to have a good year.
He led the league in yards per game last year with 273. First of all, number one, that's crazy, but 273.9 leading the league. Wow. The year before was 308 with Patrick Mahomes. So I feel like defensive coordinators don't get enough credit. They're so good.
Yeah.
They're so freaking good. And they say, like, you know, you can't beat Mahomes in the Super Bowl. The Chiefs defense won that Super Bowl last year. It was a defensive year. Kind of interesting as the whole league goes to offense.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say over, though, for Stroud, man.
I would say over as well. and I don't know where he is anymore. Where you at, CJ? CJ, boom. Okay, let's lock it in. Flex it just to be safe. Submit the entry. And boom. And then if you guys want to do it, go download the app, the Sleeper app. Use promo code CONE, C-O-H-N. And then on your first deposit, you get a deposit match up to $100. So if you put down 50, they put down 50. Boom, that's 100. That's how it works. Sleeper app. All right.
Don't sleep on the Sleeper app.
Don't sleep on the Sleeper app. Okay. Draft class. We talked about Jacob Cowing. So far, Ricky Pearsall hasn't done anything. Renardo Green, pretty good. Yeah. Dominic Pooney, starting, looking pretty good. Malik Mustafa, hitting the crap out of people. Jacob Cowing, explosive. Jarrett Kingston, getting good grades from PFF. Tatum Bethune, making plays. There might have been someone I forgot. What do you think of the Niners rookie class so far? Isaac Garendo. I forgot him for obvious reasons. Sorry.
I'm just laughing because someone said Ricky Pettis in the chat. I thought that was mean. I thought that was mean, actually. Man, I'm impressed with this rookie draft class. All these guys that we have been able to see, I mean, they look good, dude. Like, we haven't been able to see Isaac Garendo, and I don't know if we will. He might be a redshirt this year. We haven't seen Ricky Pearsall. I'm sure we will at some point. Hopefully this Friday, that would be fantastic. But out of the guys that we have seen, I'm very impressed. Renardo Green, Renardo Green is kind of like, he's doing good. He hasn't like flashed, but he hasn't flashed in a negative way for me yet either. So Renardo,
yeah, like he had a pass breakup last night, and he also got beat by Chris Olave for like a 20-yard catch. So it's like some good, some bad. He has potential, but I'm not sure if you need him like starting right now.
No, and that pass breakup was underthrown a little bit to be.
Yep.
Also, so Renardo. Nothing bad. Nothing amazing. So far, it looks good. Looks like a solid pick. I don't know if I prefer him over Kingsley. That's a different subject. But so far, Renardo looks good. Round three, Pooney. Love it, man. The more I watch Pooney and I watch the breakdowns of what he's doing individually, it's hard when you're watching these games to watch what everybody's doing. So every now and then I'll focus on Pooney. But then afterwards, you can go back and watch some of the highlights. Pooney's doing really good. I think he's a no question upgrade at right guard for the 49ers over Burford. And so that's fantastic, man. Your pick three, which is, was it Malik in third? Oh, no, that's, yes. Pooney. That's Pooney. Malik's four. So Malik Mustafa was my favorite player out of the draft, and he continues to look great. Dude's going to make a lot of – I don't know what he's going to get from a safety standpoint, how many looks he's going to get depending on if Hufanga comes back. But – I can tell you right now, he might be your player of the year in the special teams. Malik is excellent.
Yes, sir. I feel like he should be starting. But he won't because Kyle Shanahan always goes with vets. And it's like, no disrespect to George Odom. He's had a nice camp. He's intercepted some passes. But it's like, they were like overthrows from Purdy that were tipped and he was just kind of there. I mean, I don't know that the idea that a 30-year-old special teams ace, I mean, Raheem Mostert did it, right? He was a gunner for a long time. And all of a sudden, like 29, 30 years old, they're like, oh, actually, he's a great running back. We didn't know.
Right.
Is Odom really going to all of a sudden be a solid starting safety? Or is he just the guy who knows his system? And is Kyle a little scared to give Malik Mustafa a run? Because I feel like that guy looks like an impact player right now. I don't think Odom's.
Yeah, I think Odom is your safe pick. Malik, and again, he's my favorite player coming out of this draft. I wanted the 49ers to draft him. I was thrilled when they did. I love what I see from him. He has missed a couple of tackles. And for Kyle, I don't know if he's going to get past that part of it, right? Like, Kyle wants the safe, sure, you know, mistake. Like, Kyle values mistake-free over impact playmaking, it seems like to me.
But we don't even know that Odom's going to play mistake-free safety. I mean, like, he might be taking bad angles. Missing tackles. We haven't seen him like have an extended run at safety.
I want Malik Mustafa to start.
Yeah.
I just don't know if Kyle will let that happen.
Oh, he won't. No, I know he won't. I for sure know he won't. So that's good.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but I love Malik is going to be a dude for a long time to come. Like the little things he does where you're like, okay, you know, bad angle or whatnot, he'll figure that part out. But what you can't teach is what he just has naturally athletically. He's a stud, man. And I love his personality, love his mindset, love his mental. Malik is a hit for sure.
And there's Isaac Guerrero.
Isaac Guerrero.
Not much to say.
Who knows?
Then there's Jacob Cowing, who honestly, in Isaac Guerrero's defense, there was nothing much to say about Jacob Cowing this time a week ago. Now it's like, oh, is he the best rookie on the team? I don't know, but he may end up being that. I mean, he looked really explosive yesterday.
I mean, same thing could be said for Ricky too, right? We have to wait and see.
True.
But Cowing, man.
Although he's been the least impressive rookie so far. Not that means anything. Ricky's been the least impressive rookie.
Yes. But just because he hasn't done anything, right? Like maybe
comes August 19th. He's got time.
Comes out Friday and hoops. he's got to be better than Trent Taylor. That much I would expect.
Hard to be worse.
Hard to be worse. Cowing, man, is fantastic. You can see his speed right away. Look like super fast. He's got to change his number from 83 to like a single digit, double digit, like 0 to 18, somewhere in that range.
I kind of like the 83, man. It's rare you see wide receivers with 80 numbers anymore, but I feel you.
83 gives me JJ Stokes vibes, a big ass monster receiver. I don't know. Either way, it's not important.
It was JJ Stokes, and he wasn't good.
Either I have JJ's autograph. Met him. My brother-in-law played with him at UCLA. So a little backstory. So I want to come at JJ. I was high expectation for JJ. But anyways, man, Cowing. I'm thrilled about. One of the questions, one of the things I'll be watching this offseason is, does Cowing make Pearsall an irrelevant bad pick? If Cowing ends up being better than Pearsall,
if he's the punt returner, if he like takes that role. Yeah,
small slot receiver. I want.
Yeah, Ricky all of a sudden, Pearsall could be inactive.
Yeah,
yeah.
Ricky's got to prove himself.
Show
me that you're better.
You know the Niners don't play roster politics like that. Like whichever rookie pops first round, fifth round, doesn't matter. The Niners will be like, cool, we take credit for that. That's why we took two wide receivers anyway. Sorry, Ricky.
I love Cowan. One of the reasons I love Cowan and what he did last night was. He makes Trent Taylor absolutely irrelevant. No. You do not need a Trent Taylor if you have Jacob Cowan on your team.
So. Yeah, he was so good last night. I'm thinking this is a guy who not only will be active on game days, but he'll play. You know, I mean, this is a guy who looks better right now than Ray McCloud did, and I think he's in that role, the number four receiver.
Yeah,
not the number five or six, the number four and the punt returner, and a guy who could catch 10 to 15 passes.
You mean the role that Ricky Pearsall was drafted for, you mean? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. But, the Niners, I mean, it's a meritocracy, unless it's vets, but it's a meritocracy, and this rookie's played better than the other rookie, so.
Yeah.
I don't know. And again, my theory is that the Niners aren't super wedded to Ricky anyway. I think they want Xavier Worthy, so whichever rookie wide receiver Pops will go with.
Yeah, man. I'm excited about Cowan, though. I think he's going to be a weapon, something they don't have. Maybe Ricky, it looks like something like that, but I don't think Ricky's as fast as Cowan. I think that part we do know right now as far as on the field quickness.
Definitely
I think
not.
Cowan had the fastest, I believe this is an accurate statistic, the fastest wide receiver. Like they run their first 40, when they run their first 40 yards, they time the first 10 seconds. I believe Cowan was like at the top in regards to that. So.
Nice.
Excited about
He's
him.
Explosive. Man. And I like the jet sweep that he ran.
19 yards.
I mean, I don't know as a punt returner if he's going to be super shifty and making guys miss, but it seems like he could take the space that's available. He's fast.
Yeah.
And if he's the fifth, I mean, if he's on the field and there's McCaffrey, Debo, Ayuk, Kittle, you're not worried about Cowing. But if you forget about him, it's a touchdown. It's nice to have a fifth option like that.
Yeah. Excited about Cowing. So where are we at now? After Cowing?
Jarrett Kingston, who seems to be doing pretty well. I mean, better than Nick Zakel. And then there's Tatum Bethune, who I like a lot. I actually think that's another guy who arguably should be starting. I mean, D. Winters flashed, then he got hurt a little bit. He's interesting. He's fast. But Tatum Bethune doesn't seem to be like missing assignments. He seems like he's around the play, around the ball a lot. That's good for a rookie.
Yeah, so going back to Kingston, I think he had 40 dropbacks and only one pressure allowed. So that's great. That's great. When you bring up Bethune, I like Bethune, man. Something I see happen right now with the 49ers is, to me, Bethune and Robinson look better than Devondre Campbell and Demetrius Flanagan Faust. Are they going to upset them and take their spot on the roster? Probably not on the 49ers. I don't see them going that route, but I think they deserve to be in the discussion there. I haven't seen much from Devondre Campbell. I haven't seen much from DFF. I know he's a great special teams player, but he's kind of like the, you know, Dante Johnson of linebackers for the 49ers. I would not be mad at all if Curtis Robinson and Tatum Bethune take their spots.
Yeah. I feel like every time the Niners draft two players at the same time, at the same position in the same draft, the second guy is better, or not almost always. So like Trey Sermon, Elijah Mitchell, Cam Latu, Braden Willis, Ambry Thomas, Diamador Lenore.
Not in the same draft, but Trey Lance, the Brock Purdy, not in the same draft, but
yeah. So a lot, this happens a lot, but if they double up in the same draft, I feel like it says that the organization isn't 100% sold on the first guy they took. Like maybe it was a panic move, or Kyle had a feeling, but then they're like, let's just hedge just in case we like this guy. Right. And then it works. So I'm not surprised that it had, you know, and again, this year with like Isaac Garendo and Cody Schrader, like Cody Schrader doesn't look great or particularly good, but at least he's playing football. Unlike Isaac Garendo.
Yeah, I'm out on Cody. Unfortunately, I think he averaged 12 runs for 21 yards, 1.75 yard per carry all preseason.
Yeah.
Not gonna cut it.
I like Matt Breida better than Cody.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Matt Breida can still run.
But to your point, Ricky Pearsall, Jake Cowing, similar guys, right? They do that. It's like one of these guys
on skill set. So whichever one works. It's not like they're going to fill different roles. It's hedging for the same role.
Maybe they think they're so deep that they can afford that luxury. Like we need a small slot receiver. We're deep as hell. Let's draft two and one of them will work out.
Yeah, I mean, they have two punters who are the best in the world. So they are very deep. Okay, Kyle Shanahan. Look, he's got a mullet. His demeanor is a little different. Debo Samuel said he's going soft. He's giving up play calling duties in the preseason. Is this a older, wiser Kyle Shanahan? What are you seeing from the head coach?
I'm seeing a change. I don't know what it is, if it's what his motivation behind it is or why he's doing it. Right? The mullet is key. That's a key part of it. The preseason schedule, the way he's approaching the preseason, right? Like no, you know, we understand it's because of injury that they didn't have the joint practices, but typically your ones with Kyle Shanahan play in week two. This year it's week three. Kubiak play calling. I thought for sure that was going to be a one and done for Kubiak after the first game, the way Kyle talked about it after that first game. But no, he's back to it again. I think he had 146 games consecutively, including preseason, where he called all the plays. And then the last two, he's let Kubiak do it. Then he's got the starters playing this Friday. Debo Samuel was on Kay Adams' show and said that he seems to be softer. He's basically, Kay Adams joked, oh, he's babying Ricky Pearsall. Is that what you're saying? Debo backed up. No, that's not what I'm saying. But he was basically saying that Kyle was, when guys are making mistakes, receivers are making mistakes, in the past, he would kind of rip them. Like Debo and BA would get ripped for it. Whereas now, he's saying like, okay, that was good, but you can do it better. He's approaching it differently. So maybe, hopefully, it is an older, wiser Kyle Shanahan. That would be great. I don't know. Why do you think he's doing it?
Okay, I'm pessimistic. And my 8 years around Kyle, I don't think he's capable of much change. And any change that he would experience, I think would be extremely gradual. So the idea that he would like lose a Super Bowl, look in the mirror, you know, take some ayahuasca, go on a retreat, really think about things, doesn't seem like his character. No. But he does seem to be presenting differently. He's posturing differently. And I think he's very cognizant of how he's perceived and the narrative around him. And I think he wants to stay one step ahead. So he lost the Super Bowl. This time, even the players on his own team pretty much blame him. I mean, you can't put this one on Jimmy. So maybe he's thinking, all right, you know, the perception around me is that I'm a choker who is a little bit more of an offensive coordinator than a head coach. So why don't I address those perceptions and change them a little bit? Like, all right, I'm not just the play caller here. I am the head coach. Clegg, knock him out and sort of just invalidate those arguments. But when it comes to like the way he deals with his starting quarterback. I mean, that seemed like classic Kyle last night to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean,
like, you can wear a different shirt. You can wear different shoes. You can get a different haircut. You can wear a different hat, man. But, like, you're the same guy.
Yeah, I like to give people.
I'm sorry. I just feel like when Kyle says it's time to change, it's like he changes his outfit and his hair. Like, that's not what we're talking about when we talk about change.
Yeah, man. I'm hoping it's beyond that. But what you're seeing is action, right? There's words and there's actions. And what we've seen from his actions is change. So I don't know what the motivation for the change is, the reason behind it. But we are seeing change to some degree. Even Debo and Brandon Ayuk have noticed that he's being a lot softer in the way he coaches the wide receivers. So I don't know what that means. I don't know why it is, but it is changed. Maybe it's for the good.
Is he being soft on Brandon Ayuk in negotiations?
No.
No, Brandon. Can we get Brandon's opinion on how, if Kyle's gone soft, man, I'd love to know. Maybe from Debo's perspective, like, man, if I tried this stuff that Brandon was doing, they would have traded my ass out of here. Like,
right.
Maybe they are going soft.
One thing I want to bring up, and it's related to Kyle and what we're talking about, but it's also related to Purdy and something I heard. Like, one of the things I've been saying for a long time, this offseason, is one of the steps I want to see is Brock Purdy take is making this his team, right? This is your team now. You're going to make six and a half times what Kyle Shanahan makes, maybe. You can make 65 times what you make. Take control. And I don't care what Kyle's telling you on the sideline. When you're out on the field, if you see something, change it up and take control. Well, Kittle went on Kay Adams' show this last week and said that Brock Purdy's not afraid of Kyle at all. And even when they're practicing, Kyle will call in a play and Brock Purdy will, like, kind of like push back on it. Like, well, I need something different or blah, blah, blah. So that's a little different in regards to Kyle Shanahan, because I don't think he's ever.
Does he say that his plays freaking suck, man?
Not yet. Not yet. Yeah.
That was great. Yeah, I love that. That was my favorite thing Jimmy ever did.
Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. Kyle seems different. We'll see what if it translates to anything on the field.
I mean, I think we saw it started with the mustache, and now it's evolved to a mullet. Yeah. We'll see. I mean, he might go straight to, you know, New Balances next. Who knows? Oh, and then
full ponytail.
Oh my God. Yeah, he go man bun like George Kittle. Yeah. Doug and Wafa Allshouse says, love Conan Hensley. Where has Stats and Cone Show been? We usually don't do it during training camp because we usually go live at 9 in the morning and I'm already on the road. I'm like in an Amtrak thing. So as soon as we're probably next week, we'll be back at it. Brandon Green, can we trade for Joey Sly? He's making kicks in rain. No, you gotta embrace Jake Moody. Has he not? He's missed a kick in like four of his last five games, including preseason and postseason.
So last
four of his last five, kicked, five of his last six.
Not to give him excuses, but last game's kick, there's a lot of pressure on them up the middle, and I think he shanked it because there's guys coming in pretty hard at him. I don't know if shanking benefits you. Probably should just kicked it the same way, anyways. But I do put a little bit on that, but what you did notice is Cowboys undrafted free agent kicker nailed a 66 yarder. And it kind of speaks to, like, you know, and then Harvin, undrafted free agent, Cowboys kicker, undrafted free agent versus the 49ers got Wisnowski in the fourth and Moody in the third. Kind of speaks to, like, not that Wisnowski's bad, but it kind of speaks to, like, why are you, you should never spend draft capital on kickers. You can find them.
Yeah. Chris Soto, 17, says CD turned down $33 million a year. This could get worse.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. Ethan M, secondary depth is looking crazy fire. Even Samuel Womack looked decent last night.
Yeah.
Anthony says, Grant the real OC fire alarm puller epic video.
Yeah, that was great.
Thanks. That was great. That's a true
what,
story.
What happened? What happened? We want to know. Like, was there an actual?
I think emergency? I heard that there was a fire on the seventh floor last night, but I don't know for sure. I heard some. They didn't shut down things. I mean, there were people still working around there, so hard to say. Brother Bob says, did Jed Dork tell Kyle Levy to give up some control?
No.
No. Okay. Yeah. Let's go through the roster. We got about 5-10 minutes left. Yeah. Whose stock is up after last night, this training camp, this offseason? Whose stock is up?
So stock up, guys. I had a lot of them. Obviously, Jacob Cowing, stock up. A guy that's underappreciated to me, I don't understand it. He's Curtis Robinson. He's continued 2 weeks in a row.
C-Rob, as I call C-Rob. Him.
That's what you call him. He looks fantastic, man. Why is he not talked about more? I don't get it. He looks better than...
Because he's been around a while. He doesn't have that like draft pedigree hype, but kind of like Demetrius Flanagan Foles, he's been a key special teams guy, and the Niners seem to like develop linebackers slowly but surely, and it looks like he's the best of the backups right now, doesn't he? He looks better than Jalen Graham, who everyone loves because he was a draft pick.
To me, man, I like Curtis Robinson. He's standing out the most out of all the backups right now. Yeah, Gross Matos had a pressure. I thought that was good to see. Something that
he did.
We haven't seen a
quick
lot
win
of.
Too.
Yeah, so stock up for him. Malik, of course, big hits. Ronaldo Green had a decent night last night. Dobbs, man, gotta get
Dobbs.
Dobbs did his thing, brother. Braden Willis, I think Braden Willis has kind of showed himself to be, to me, he looks like after Kittle, he looks like the best receiving tight end that they have. Maybe Sobert's better, I don't know, but Braden Willis keeps flashing to me. And then Harvin, like we spoke about, let me give you a stock up on two guys that we didn't even get to see last night, but the stock is definitely up on Trent Williams and Brandon Ayuk. After this preseason, just because you could tell that they desperately need him. Jalen Moore gave up 3 pressures last night, 3 times as much as anybody else on the team. He's not going to cut it.
No. One more guy, Tanner Mordecai. I thought he looked, he hasn't looked great in practice. Neither is Joshua Dobbs. That's what's interesting. A lot of these, Purdy hasn't looked good in practice. None of the quarterbacks have looked good in practice. It's a good defense. It's practice. They're not game planning. All of a sudden, Dobbs plays well out of nowhere in a game and like, where he could live action. And Tanner Mordecai does too, like 4 for 6. You can see that he has a strong arm. You can see that he's athletic. Like, that's a guy I'd like to see more of. I like Tanner. I'm not saying he's definitely the backup quarterback on this team, but he got 6 throws. I'd like to see him get 12 throws next time.
The thing is, man, if you're a rookie, and you make it a discussion against a veteran you're fighting with for a position, then it's no-brainer, go with the rookie. And that's how I look at it. And so if Brandon Allen and Tanner Mordecai are close, then you should go with Tanner Mordecai because Brandon's at a ceiling, and we're just seeing the beginning of Tanner Mordecai.
Okay, stock down.
Stock down, Ronnie Bell.
Ooh.
Ronnie Bell, dude. He makes every throw look difficult.
An adventure.
It's just unfortunate, and I hate doing this to these young dudes, man, but I had high hopes for Ronnie Bell. I just don't see it with Ronnie Bell. He just doesn't have the hands. Everything seems difficult, so got to go with him. Danny Gray.
It's the end of the line for those two draft picks, I think, Ronnie Bell and Danny Gray. The tip pass to himself, I mean, nice catch, but like,
just catch
the first time. You're not an NFL wide receiver, I'm sorry.
Yeah. And Trent Taylor, man. Like, I mean, I don't know if we can go down from down, but he doesn't. It's a mistake. I understand he's George Kittle's friend. Kyle likes him, but Trent Taylor is done, in my opinion.
I'm not big on Cam Latu. He got 5 targets, 3 catches. I feel like he braces for contact. I feel like at his size, he should be bulldozing people. But when there's contact, I'm thinking he's going to fumble. And he did fumble last night, but he recovered it. He'll make the team, but I don't think he'll be active.
He's on my list too. He just doesn't play with a lot of confidence, you know.
No, he doesn't play a lot of confidence. You're right. Or aggression.
Hopefully he improves.
Or skill.
I'm gonna say Colton McKivitz, dude. Like, he has not improved at all. He gave up a pressure, just got cooked. Second penalty.
He's so slow in pass protection, man.
His second penalty in 2 weeks. Dominic Pooney already looks better than McKivitz. Dominic Pooney next to McKivitz. Pooney looks like the veteran. McKivitz looks like the rookie. It's a mistake.
What's interesting with McKivitz is like, you're finally going to have help to the inside, like a good guard. Like, your job is to not get beat around the edge, man. That's your job. And you can like push the edge rusher past the quarterback, but like, can you don't have to worry about the inside as much anymore. You don't have freaking Burford or Feliciano or Mike Person there anymore, or whoever it was. Can you like protect one side?
And because Jalen Moore and Colt McKivitz look bad at their positions, stock down on Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch for not drafting their replacement. 2 years ago, you could have got DeJuan Jones instead of Cam Latu. This year, you could have got Kingsley instead of either Ricky or Renardo. So stock down on Kyle and John for not fixing that problem early.
I want to give him credit, though. Like, it looks like Pooney's nice. Mm-hmm. It looks like Kingston might be a decent guard, too. And a quarterback like Purdy, you want to allow him to step up in the pocket. And he hasn't really been able to do that with that weak offensive line. So maybe if he can just step up in the pocket and you have a good interior of the offensive line, you can get by with the worst right tackle in the league. But the way they've like completely disregarded the offensive tackle position the last 3 years is strange, to say the least. It's a very important position.
Even with that philosophy you just gave, there were a lot of good centers available at 31.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like, if they had gotten a center, like the guy you like, Jackson Powers Johnson the fourth, whatever his name is. Sorry. He's got a lot of names. If they had him instead of Pearsall and you had him next to Pooney, that'd be a game changer.
Well, Jackson Powers Johnson has been beat up this training camp, but what I'm seeing from him is that he, in college, he looked really good. He seems like a dude to me. So we'll have to see once he gets healthy. But I think he would have been better than Brindell. So I think that was a missed opportunity as well.
You know who seems like a dude to me?
Who?
You.
I do. Very, very dudish.
You're dudish. Mannish and dudish at the same time. Okay, keep going.
Both with an F. Both. Run defense, stock down on that until I see otherwise. I haven't had a chance to see Javon Hargrave, Malik Willis, Jordan Elliott do their thing yet, but with the guys that they have been popping in, right? We haven't seen really a lot of the starters of the D-line. With the guys they have been popping in, I have not been impressed. The only guy that impressed me is Khalil Davis, and he's injured now. So I'm going to say stock down on the run defense until I see.
What about Bofa?
Bosa?
No. Bofa. What about Bofa?
Who's Bofa?
Not Bosa.
Bofa?
Who's Bofa?
Yes.
Oh, I can't do it. This is a PG show. You've never heard that joke before?
No. What are we doing here?
Who's Bofa? Bofa D's.
No, I can't.
Can't do it. It was too easy. Really,
you could have done it.
I can't do it. No, it's PG show. I should have. Could have done it. What you talk about, Willis says, remember Mystery Men movie. Kel Mitchell was Invisible Man and his powers only worked if no one looked at him. That's Moody. Look away. And he can. I actually do remember that freaking movie. Do you remember that movie? It was Ben Stiller, Kel from Kenan and Kel. It was like late 90s.
I remember the name of the movie. I don't remember watching the movie.
His powers only worked if no one looked at him. That's me too. That's me golfing, man. One of the more like underratedly difficult things about golfing is the fact that everyone you play with stares at you. You just like, could you guys talk or something? Like, go do something, man. You don't need to. I don't need you looking at me.
Well, when we play, I'm gonna make sure you see me looking at you while you're playing. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Joe Cruel, $10. All day, every day, Kim. Thanks, Joe. I see people talking about wait till Brock has his main guys with him. He'll be good. That's the problem, it seems. He needs those guys to look good, not franchise. Ooh, pretty much.
I mean, if that's the case, I mean, it's small sample size too, right? It's preseason, small sample size. And it's not only that he didn't have his guys, he didn't have anyone, right? So yeah. I don't know if that's necessarily fair. We're talking about like if he loses BA and George Kittle, how will he look? Not like if he loses an entire starting offense. So it's a little different.
Yeah, if the entire team gets a stomach bug before the game and he has to go out and play by himself. But yeah, no, that's all day, every day, Cam brings up a good point. And like, that is the question with Brock. And hopefully, Kyle Shanahan being Kyle, he will let us all find out the answer sooner rather than later. And so, Kyle, thank you for last night. That was informative. And really, the word of the offseason has been instructional. It was educational for all of us. Right. I appreciate that. That's the show. Thanks for watching, everyone. Please subscribe to the channel. I'm like five away from 75,000. Also subscribe to Ryan. He just crossed 10,000. We're making moves. We're going to be doing a round table Thursday night. Ryan, me, Coach, and Jesse.
It's going to be fantastic.
It's going to be way better than you think. And you think it's going to be great. It's going to be that much better.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, guys. Have a great day. Oh, no. Serenity, just wanted to say.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.